Hi, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'd like to thank Pantheon sponsors AKG for the support of this podcast. Be sure to keep up with my show on Facebook, Instagram, or through my Brian Reisman account on Twitter. This is the second anniversary of Side Jams, and I have plenty of exciting interviews coming up. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Adrian Smith, and you listen to Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Skillful guitarist and soulful singer Richie Kotzen has a prolific career. He first came to the attention of mainstream audiences by playing with Poison and then Mr. Big in the 1990s, and since 1989 he has released 21 solo albums. He's a member of the Winery Dogs with bassist Billy Sheehan and drummer Mike Portnoy, and he's recorded jazz fusion albums with the likes of Greg Howe, Stanley Clark, and Lenny White. Then there's the new Smith Kotzen project with fellow vocalist and Iron Maiden guitarist Adrian Smith. Their self-titled debut album is a bluesy hard rock affair that meshes their harmonious playing and singing styles into a potent sonic cocktail. Good tunes to start off with are the anthemic tracks Running and Taking My Chances. It might seem, given all of these different musical forays, that Richie does not have a lot of time for outside activities, but for episode 49 of Side Jams, we discussed his interest in gardening, landscaping, and home improvements, along with a more recent passion for poker. While music is his main outlet, Richie likes to channel his creativity into other areas as well, which is something he credits to his father's influence. His different hobbies certainly made great fodder for an engaging conversation.
Well, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We actually spoke, I think it was 8 years ago, for Winery Dogs for Grammy.com.
The Winery Dogs.
Yeah, so it was a hot minute.
Right? Yeah. How long ago was that now? What year was that?
2013.
What, that? Now that's, ain't that something? That's the beginning of the band. And you know, it's funny. I remember I had just started dating my wife around that time. Because I remember she was up from Brazil. She used to come back and forth. And one of these times she was staying with me. And it was when I had one of the first meetings with Billy and Mike. Isn't that something? How time just flies. Wow.
It's crazy, man. I mean, even though this pandemic has driven me up a wall, it's actually flown by for me because I have so many things going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this sucks. But at the same time, I always have something to do. So
I know. You know, it's funny. The thing about this and the thing about this that's interesting is I had 4 continents worth of shows booked because on February 3rd, I released a solo album and I was planning on touring that album. And we had Europe, United States, Japan, South America, and it all came down. And now here's what's, I guess, ironic or whatever you want to call it, but I didn't miss the road not once during this entire 2020 did I say, gee, I'd love to get out and do a show. I think what happened to me, I needed a break and I didn't, I mean, obviously we didn't want this kind of chaos, but I'm trying to find a silver lining here. And I think for me, I think I needed a break from touring. I needed a solid year home, you know, deal with my property here, you know, be here with my wife. And I just needed a year off. So now I'm starting to get that feeling again. Okay. And I want to get up there. I want to get out there with Adrian and play some shows with this new music that we made. And, you know, so we'll see.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You just finished recording your album right before this happened. You were right. It was the islands, what, Turks and Caicos? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it is. And we finished the record and we planned, because of what I just said with all the touring that was booked, and obviously Iron Maiden had had dates, we planned releasing it, you know, in March. So that stayed. Thankfully, you know, we kept our release date.
Yeah.
But the other part that went away is in April, we wanted to be out playing live. So, you know, obviously can't do that, but, you know, we're going to get together, Adrian and I, at some point in the near future and see what we can put together, at least feel it out, see how we sound. And then from there, you know, talk to management and find out, you know, if we can start looking at the idea of booking. You know, you don't want to jump on booking something and then they have to take it down again. So we almost have to wait and see how things pan out. But the idea is to get out and play for sure.
This style of music is something you're very comfortable with. You have that bluesy and sometimes R&B inflected hard rock. And it's always, you always have very sincere performances. And Adrian, of course, is known for like classic British metal. Right. So it's interesting the fact that your guitar styles and your vocal styles actually blend well together.
Yeah. And, you know, I knew they would, because for years I would go over to Adrian's house when he was in town, and they would have these holiday get together parties, and everybody would always end up in the music room jamming. And so I knew right away that he could sing. I knew that he sang in a very soulful way that I like. I knew that he was a great blues guitar player. And I also knew that he, you know, was a fan of a lot of the same kinds of bands that I like. So going in, I knew, you know, that we were going to blend well. But it wasn't really until, you know, we did that first song. I think the first one that we finished was Running. Yeah. I'm like, this is kicking. So, but when the next one was Scars, and after I listened to that a few times, that's when it hit me. It's like, man, you guys are really onto something kind of special. You know, you have a nice vibe, the way, you know, you're complimenting each other musically. And then the other thing that hit me was like, wow, I don't think I've ever worked on anything that was this easy. You know, it's just kind of, kind of happened, you know? So that's all good stuff.
I think my two favorite tracks are Some People and Solar Fire.
Hmm. I'll tell you something interesting, because, you know, people seem to want to know how we come up with this stuff. But Solar Fire, that song, we did like a basic bed track, you know, like something to write against. And
yeah,
I got on the mic and I improvised, which I do this a lot. I got on the mic and just improvised some melodies without lyrics. So what ends up happening is I'll start scatting something. It sounds like I'm singing a lyric, but it's really not. It's just, you know, it's some kind of made up language, but it's something to get something across. So
it's interesting.
I'm singing the chorus and he goes, wow, Solar Fire. And I said, what? He goes, it sounds to me like you're singing Solar Fire. And I said, well, what does that even mean? So then we had this conversation going back and forth, and you know, how are we going to do this? Well, you're looking at Solar Fire, you're playing with Solar Fire. And then we thought, well, playing with Solar Fire sounds kind of interesting. So we just kind of threw ideas back and forth with, you know, writing words down, and then the song just kind of comes together. So again, it's just this real easy, natural vibe that we have somehow, you know?
That's cool. So for my podcast, I talk about music, but I also talk about people's sort of outside passions.
Uh-huh.
And their hobbies.
Yeah.
So is there anything you wanted to talk about?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I just do a lot of things around the house. You know, I'm always outside gardening and, you know, planting trees. And I don't really have, though, like Adrian has fishing and he's really all about it. I don't have, you know, it was poker for a while before the pandemic hit. You know, I kind of miss that. I miss playing poker.
What did you like about poker?
You know, more than anything, the social thing. I mean, the funny thing about poker, about playing cards, is, you know, I know that I'm never going to win enough to really change my life, but I'll definitely lose enough to get pissed off. You know what I mean?
So I want
to
keep going back.
I'm torturing myself. But what I really like, you know, I like the strategy element, but I love the social thing. You know, there was years where, you know, I had a couple of guys that I was friendly with, and they'd have games, and, you know, we'd do one night at my house, one night at another guy's house. And, you know, I was playing three nights a week for a while, and, you know, sometimes I'd win, sometimes I'd lose. So, you know, I had to keep an eye on things. You know, I didn't want to get into an expensive habit, but, you know, the social element is what I really like. You know, just, I've had games at my house where we'd play and all of a sudden the sun was coming up. I mean,
wow,
really going at it. You know? But, you know, it's a fun thing. And now, you know, with the pandemic, you know, I mean, that'd be the ultimate way to spread COVID. And actually, I remember when this first started, the pandemic COVID, my buddy who I used to play with said, oh yeah, I'm going down to play cards down on Melrose. You know, there was a private game down there. Yeah. Somewhere. And then no sooner did he play, I said to him on the phone, I said, dude, I said, I don't think I'm going to go. I said, I don't know enough about this COVID thing. And that sounds like a great, you know, you got guys touching cards and touching money and touching this and that. I said, that sounds like something, that's a bad idea. And so no sooner did I say that, you know, I find out like a month later, one of those guys ended up getting COVID. So
yeah,
it just, you know, that just fucked everything up basically.
Yeah, it's been weird. I mean, I'm a writer, so I'm good at burrowing, and you're a musician, so you can be in your studio, and you know, we spend a lot of time in the dark sometimes, or you know,
right.
dimly lit environments. And for a lot of people, they don't like. I have friends that they don't like that. They're not used to it. It's interesting too. I was imagining you're a performer, so does that help your poker face at all?
Well, you know, I have a reputation as a card player of being unpredictable, and you know, it's part of my personality, because by nature I've been told that I'm very unpredictable. But you know, it's a good thing in cards, and it's something that I play into. And so I'd be one of those people, and I don't want to reveal too much because now people are going to know all my secrets, but
yeah, of course,
I'm not playing, I'm not really playing tournaments anymore anyway. So, but I'm one of those people where, like, if I took down a big pot and it was on a bluff, you know, I might show my cards once in that particular night. So now people will get it in their heads that if I bet big, that I'm full of shit. And so they'll call me, but I'll make sure the next time I act like that on a bet, you know, that I'm actually holding, you know, pocket aces. You know what I'm saying? So, and some people look at me like, oh, he doesn't have anything. And then when I win the hand, you know, with a full house, you know, aces over, you know, whatever, then they're like, they can't predict what I'm going to do. So that, I guess, would be kind of my style. That's what I've been told anyway. It's like, you know, Kotzen, I don't know, he could have anything, you know. So, you know, people get a little leery of it. One of the problems I have in my game is in tournament play, it's very interesting how I come in and I can get really hot and I'll end up at the final table. Oftentimes I end up at the final table. Somewhere along the line, I get bored. And it's weird. And I think it's almost because so much of what I like about the game isn't the game. It's the actual interaction with the people at the table.
Yeah.
It's the social element. So, you know, probably my weakness, you know, I think I'm a stronger player actually in a cash game, because I have a good tournament play, and I'm usually get to the final table, and oftentimes I get in the money. But sometimes I just get to that point where I'm like, oh, I just want to get out of here. Now I'm just bored. Because, I mean, you know, those tournaments can go on and on and on.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, I wanted to add something to that real quick. You know, one of the things when you said about being a writer and burrowing, you know, for me, you know, with this COVID staying home thing, more than anything, what I did miss is the social thing. You know, I'm fine staying home. I'm fine taking a break from touring. That was fine. Off the road, miss it one bit. Not once did I long for the stage during this, but I missed all that other stuff. You know, I have friends that have great barbecues and pool parties. We play volleyball in the swimming pool, and I go over to my friend's house and play poker, and, you know, go into certain bars that I like to go to. I really, really miss that. I really, really miss that a lot.
You know, I was thinking, you were telling me about poker and how you get bored. And I always remember that thing in The Simpsons where Homer, I think he gets arrested for drunk driving or whatever. And so he has to stop drinking. And so at one point he's with his friends at a baseball game. And they're all chugging beer except for him. And he goes, I never realized how boring this game really is.
That's awesome.
So you also mentioned gardening. So are you sort of a green thumb kind of guy, or is it just more you just like to be around the backyard?
No, as matter of fact, now my dad, one time at my previous house, I came back from Home Depot with a bunch of plants, and he says to me, he was staying with me, he says, oh, where are you going to kill those? As if, like, you know, like I just plant things and leave them to die. But where I am now, I've got a lot of land, and it's not easy land because it's a hill. And so, you know, we have this house, and it's got ridiculous views of the canyon. It's just gorgeous, but it's a lot of work, a lot of maintenance. And, you know, I've been trying to keep it clean, because, you know, we're in a high risk zone because of fires. And a few years ago, the biggest fire ever to come through here came through here. And when I bought this house, I moved to the house in 2016. The only thing that I was worried was fire, right? And so I have a great relationship with the neighbor, and it was her father who built her house and my house.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of cool. I know everything about the place, but I kept talking about the fire and that, don't worry. Well, doesn't the biggest fire of all time rip through our canyon? And we had to evacuate. And I didn't know for 2 days if we had a house or not. And there's a famous property that is the other neighbor where they shoot the video, The Bachelor, the TV show. So on the news, they said, Bachelor Mansion's on fire. And I said to Julia, I said, forget it. I said, we're done. Oh, I wow. said, no way. And we found out that the house was still standing and we came back. We had to sneak in through a secret way into the canyon. We came up the driveway and there were four fires in the yard still burning. I mean, everything was smoke, covered in smoke. Inside the house was all like soot and a smoky haze. And the fire came all the way up like within 10 feet of the back of the house. And thank God, nothing ignited on the house. Everything else, trees, landscape, sprinkler system got destroyed. I mean, but magically, this house is here. It was just unbelievable. But that ties me back to the gardening. So I am obsessed with keeping the brush under control. So, you know, I have a gardener, but I still go out there raking, pulling stuff up, make sure stuff's watered. And, you know, it's a full-time job. You know, once I get older, when I get too old to handle it, then maybe we'll move somewhere. But it's so beautiful here. We just love it so much. So we just take care of it. So that I guess, is a hobby in itself, is just maintaining, you know, keeping the property safe and you know.
Yeah.
Keeping it from being a fire hazard, you know.
Does that teach you more about patience, since things take a while to grow?
You know, it teaches you about patience and not worrying about shit you can't control, because I'm the worst. I'm one of those people, you know, I can get real caught up in if this, then that, what if this, then that.
Yep.
And it's worked to my advantage in my career, because I can kind of position myself and prepare for things, you know, because in the music business, you might have a year where, you know, you make an obscene amount of money, and then you might have 4 years where you just don't make shit. And so I've always been one of those guys that, you know, if I had a great year, I don't assume that it's going to be like that every year. And it's just a balance, you know. And so I've been pretty good with that sort of thing. But you can get caught up in trying to worry too much about the future, and then you miss the present. So it's a fine, fine dance you have to do.
Do you think being a rock guy who's on noisy stages and in noisy environments a lot, it's important to live someplace peaceful?
Yeah, you know, you can't live in a chaotic environment, that's for sure, and be creative. One of the things that I talk about, because I have friends that are musicians that want to write, you know, I talk about this thing called, and I'm sure I'm not the only guy, but I talk about this thing called input versus output. And so for me, I need input in order to have output. And I have musician friends that just have to be on the road all the time. And they're always this, it's constant output. And maybe it works for them, but for a guy like me to be inspired, or to at least feel like I'm doing something of value with my artistic ideas,
yeah,
I need to take time away and I need input, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, that can be what we were just talking about, like saying, nope, I'm not touring for 4 months and I might not even record anything. I'm going to go work in the yard and redo some landscaping, you see. And then I'm out there in the yard and all of a sudden I got an idea for a song. You know what I mean? I don't know. Or I just got to do something else so that I reset myself.
What kind of landscaping have you been doing during the past year, since you've had more time, clearly?
Well, I built this crazy bench up by the flagpole that looks like something that would be like that. Maybe like the Manson family had a hand in building. It's this very crude, creepy looking wooden, like observation bench. And that was one of my 2020 builds. And I put like a brick patio up there. That's a very small thing, but you can walk up there and sit there and look out into the canyon and watch the sunset.
Sure.
It kind of looks out over the house. So that was a job for me. You know, I have we have a massive attic here with a super high ceiling. I mean,
yeah,
the ceiling is massive up there. And so I started pulling stuff out of there, redoing some of the electric in order to make room to put a room up there that I want to create for Julia, for her studio. So, you know, I have a lot of tools for construction. So that's another one of my hobbies. I'm always building something. At the last place I was at, I did some work there. But here I'm trying to work out this attic so that we had a place for her to make like a studio to do her work. Because right now she's got her stuff set up in the bedroom and it doesn't bother me.
Right.
But I think she'd like something a little more private. She doesn't, you know, if she needs to do any kind of real crazy stuff, she can do it in my studio. I mean, crazy, like she needs to record, you know, drums or something like that. She just comes downstairs and use mine. But, you know, she's got, my wife is a great songwriter. A lot of people know Julia as a bass player. She was in a very famous band in Brazil called Baja de Saia. And I mean, She had her face on the side of the buses. I mean, real, a big time band in Brazil. And, she came, you know, she gave that up to be with me. So we have to question her sanity, but she's a great writer. She's a great writer. And so she's been really writing like during the pandemic, she's the one that really has been shining. I mean, she's got some songs there that are sensational. I mean, just incredible songs. And so she's been recording basic tracks all year. And so I want to make a place for her that's, you know, a little more sophisticated than what she's got. So that's what I've been working on, trying to build out that part of the house, which it's going to take a bit of strategic work because it is in the attic and we've got to reinforce some things, but it can be done. So that's what I'm looking at.
So home improvements as well.
Home improvement. Home Depot has been a great stock for me this year.
So what kind of satisfaction do you get out of all these things?
I think it all ties into the creative process. And I've said this before, you know, it doesn't have to be music for me. Like, you know, I could be building a treehouse and at the end of it, if I build a good treehouse, I get the same kind of satisfaction out of that as I do out of writing a song. Now, I don't reap the same rewards if it's a successful song. You know, I can make a great treehouse and That's all it's ever going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's a similar thing. And my father was very much a creative guy, not necessarily in music, although right. He did dabble with the piano and the saxophone. My father is extremely creative in building, in remodeling. His new hobby now, he makes lights out of saxophones. He sells them, ships them all over the country, and people love them. My friend Jerry Cantrell has one in his house. I got one for a couple other musician friends of mine. So that's my dad's latest creative outlet. But I think that's really where I get it from. I get that kind of, I can't just sit around and do nothing. I can't do it. I got to do something. You know, music is it for me. That's my outlet. But
right.
When I don't have a song idea, look out. I got a hammer in hand and I'm wearing a tool belt. See if I can go do some damage with that.
I think everyone should have a creative outlet, regardless of whether it's their vocation or not. A way to express yourself other than what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's important to get away. If your main thing is music, you got to get away from it to have fresh ideas, because after a while, you're just regurgitating.
Yeah.
You know, that's at least for me, and everybody's different, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, even with writing, you know, I feel like I do a lot of writing. I'm an art guy, so I'm always reading something, watching something, listening to something. I'm always absorbing. But, you know, it's good. I miss traveling. That's the thing I really miss the most. When I would go on trips on junkets, you know, I wouldn't just go like cover a metal band in Europe. I wouldn't just go to a rock club. I would go to museums. I'd go to restaurants. I'd wander around the city. I love doing that. Just
right.
Get out and go and see what you discover.
That was the one thing that made touring with my solo band a lot easier as opposed to the Winery Dogs. And what I mean by that, you know, with the Winery Dogs, you know, Billy and Mike really have been around the world so many times that they, you know, when they get to their room, they just kind of want to chill, which I understand that. That makes sense. But with my solo group, when we were touring, and we toured a lot, more than the Winery Dogs. But when we would go out, those guys were a lot younger. And so everything was new.
Yeah.
And so we'd get somewhere and they'd like, okay, let's go, let's walk, let's get our steps in. And they'd want to get in, you know, 15,000 steps in a day. And so I'd go tag along with them and see, you know, we'd walk all over Serbia. We'd walk all over, you know, wherever we were, you know, and just take it in. And that was good for me to do that, especially on the road. Because, man, the road thing can be maddening when you're just sitting in a room waiting for the gig. I mean, for me, it's almost, I mean, I don't know how I do it. You know, I just, and the thought of actually doing it again is a little bit like I get anxiety. So I think the key for me when I tour is I got to get out. I got to walk around and take in some things and, you know, just move my body, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And hopefully you'll be getting back to some poker and some and volleyball and other things in the near future.
I know. I hope so. I sure do miss it.
Yeah. It's an interesting time, but well, hopefully we'll see you on the road some point soon. That's what I said, everybody.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
That wraps up the latest Side Jams. Please join me next for episode number 50, which will feature Pop Evil drummer Haley Kramer. As always, my theme music comes from Fox and the Law, licensed through AudioSocket. Thank you very much for listening.